Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts. Enkindle in us the fire of your divine love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of thy faithful people, grant us by the same light that we always may be wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The title of our conference this morning is The Death of the Lord. And we begin our Holy Saturday morning meditation with a reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 14 to 15. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same nature, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong bondage. The passage is important for us to consider because it tells us that our Lord Jesus destroyed the power of death, he destroyed the fear of death, and by doing so, destroyed the grip or the bondage of the devil over the whole human race. The devil held the whole human race in bondage through fear of death, and the Lord destroyed the fear of death. Now, how did the devil hold us in bondage through the fear of death? The fear of death, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, is the root of all fear. Since all fear is of evil, and lesser evils are really prefigurations or anticipations of the ultimate natural evil, which is death. So by destroying the fear of death, the Lord can destroy all fear or uproot fear from our souls. And fear is the number one thing that the devil uses to manipulate us. So how did the Lord destroy the fear of death? In his commentary on this passage, in his from the letter to the Hebrews, St. Thomas says this: when someone considers that Christ, the Lord of death, willed to die, he does not fear to die. So what St. Thomas tells us to do is ponder that our Lord Jesus Christ freely chose to die. And that's what we're doing this morning, pondering the death of the Lord in order to be freed from the fear of death ourselves. So let's consider this mystery, this mysterious statement that our Lord Jesus willed to die. Now, there's one sense in which he does that on Good Friday. And there's another sense in which he does that on Holy Saturday. Because there's something ambiguous about death. Death may be viewed as an event, or it may be viewed as a condition. As an event, it's the occurrence of the soul separating from the body. And as an event, Christ died on the cross. That's when his soul separated from his body. But death may also be understood as a condition or state, the condition or state in which the soul is separated from the body already. And in this sense, we ponder the death of the Lord today. He was dead. Or as the letter to the Hebrews puts it, he tasted death. He experienced it. The soul of Christ separated from the body of Christ, and the soul of Christ went down to Sheol, or Hades, or the abode of the dead. But when he did so, he was in a condition like no one else before him, because he was the eternal Son of God, incarnate in the flesh for us, but now in the condition of death. What was his condition at that point. He died, his soul separated from his body. But, the tradition tells us, the soul of Christ did not separate from the eternal Word, and neither did the body of Christ separate from the eternal Word. Here's how St. John Damascene puts it, and St. Thomas quotes St. John Damascene about this. St. John Damascene says, although he died as a man, and his holy soul was severed from his immaculate body, yet his divinity remained inseparable from both, I mean from his soul and his body. So thanks to this inseparable union of the eternal Word with the soul of Christ, Christ could change death, that is, the state or condition of death. He could defeat it, and he did so, and he could do so precisely because his human soul remained united with the Word. And this union of the Word of God with the soul of Christ and the power he thereby enjoyed to defeat death is symbolized in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, when the Lord Jesus says, I hold the keys of death and Hades. What does that mean? How did he defeat death? Well, he changed death. He changed its quality, its meaning. And let's consider how Christ changed death. First of all, Christ changed death from being a permanent state to being a transitory condition. Once upon a time, before Christ rose from the dead, death was a permanent state. I mean, what could be more obvious about death from a natural point of view than the fact that it's permanent? Once a person dies, the soul separates from the body, and you and I will see the person no more. From a natural point of view, death is permanent. And indeed, up until the death of Christ, it was a permanent condition. Those who died, their souls went down to Sheol, to Hades, the abode of the dead. And there they remained forevermore. And whether there ever would be a resurrection for them was unclear in ancient Israel. It was a matter of dispute. And our Lord came, we can say, to answer that question and to make clear the plans of God and to defeat death. How? By rising from this condition. By doing so, Christ showed and ensured that death is not a permanent condition. He defeated the permanence of it. He put an end to the permanence of it when he rose. There were many souls in the abode of the dead before Christ, but none of the souls that were there had the power simply to leave that place, to walk out. But Christ had that power, that is, the soul of Christ had that power, precisely because he remained united to the Word. The soul of Christ remained united to the Word. So he could just walk out. And that's what he did. So what does death become, thanks to this mystery of Christ's breaking its power, breaking its permanence? Death is now comparable to something like sleep. No one's afraid to go to sleep because you know you're going to wake up again, or you presume you're going to wake up again. So likewise, death in Christ is something like sleep. It ends. That's why in the Office of Readings for Holy Saturday, the Church reads in this second reading an ancient homily on Easter. It goes like this. Something strange is happening. There's a great silence on earth today, a great silence and stillness. The whole earth keeps silence because the King is asleep. That statement, the king is asleep, that's a commentary on the condition of the death of Christ from the point of view of his resurrection and his defeat of the permanence of it. But there's a second way Christ changes death. Up until the time of Christ, death was a terminal point. It was the end of natural life. We spend our life on this world, on this earth, walking the earth, and then we die, the soul separates from the body, and that's the end of our life. So death is a terminal point. But Christ changed that. Thanks to his death, the death of the Lord, death is no longer just a terminal point for life on earth. Death is an entry point. It gets taken over into a journey that Christ is on. It becomes but one moment or one step in a journey into life, to new life, to resurrection life. Perhaps you and I are too accustomed to thinking of it that way. Perhaps you and I are too accustomed to thinking, yeah, death is just a step into life, or death is really an entry point. It wasn't always that way. It came to be that way because of Jesus Christ, because he freely willed to enter into this condition of death, defeat its permanence, and walk out of it. That's why or how it came to be but a step on a journey into life. But there's a third way Christ changed death. He assumed the condition of being once dead into his immortal and unending divine life. Because Christ died, because he entered into the condition of being dead and then rose from that condition, the risen Lord Jesus can say forevermore, "Once I was dead." And just as he bears in his body, just as the risen Lord Jesus bears in his body the wounds of his cross, so too the risen Lord Jesus speaks and he says, "Once I was dead." In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, the risen Lord Jesus, the glorified Christ, says this, "I am the first and the last and the living one. Once I was dead, but behold, I am the living one forevermore." He can say, "Once I was dead," because he tasted death. And that taste of death became a kind of condition, a past condition that enters into who Christ is. It enters into the mystery of his being. And he can say forevermore, "Once I was dead." Now, all of this is good news for you and for me, because thanks to our baptism, our death becomes a death like his. We die in him. Those who are in his grace, when we die a death like his. So for us too, death becomes a transitory condition, like going to sleep. And this is how the ancient Christians would prepare for martyrdom, meditate on death, and realize it's just sleep, basically. For a Christian, death is sleep. We're going to get our bodies back. The soul, our souls and bodies will come together again. And death is not, for us, a terminal point, just the end of life on earth. It's the entry point into life eternal. And we too, one day, thanks to the resurrection of the body, we too, who enter into glory with Christ, will be able to say with him and like him, "Once I was dead, but now I live to die no more."